Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Let me get this one here. Okay, do we have any prayer requests? Anyone that we should pray for? Pray for Michael
and Stephen.
Kevin and David. Pray for the brothers and sisters around the world. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this time with the brothers and sisters to be together and to think about you and your ways and to encourage each other. Bless our time in this day, we pray. Bless the brothers and sisters around the world, those who are seeking to serve you. Just thank you for each one. Pray for David and Kevin, be with them today, whatever they face. Bless those who have once begun to walk in truth but walked away. We pray for Michael and Stephen, that you have mercy on them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, today we're ready for Esther, chapter 6. Let's just go over some of the things that we've read about so far in the book of Esther, the story about Esther. What do you remember about the story of Esther? What's been happening so far in this story? Haman wanted to kill the Jews. Okay, good. And what had Haman done to try to kill the Jews? Do you remember? How was Haman going about getting the Jews killed?
Yes, he
asked the king to have them killed. What did the king do? Was anything being done to get the Jews killed? Do you remember? Okay, made a law, like a letter. The king wrote a letter. Do you remember that? And they wrote this letter, and they sent the letter around to everyone that the Jews were to be killed on a certain day. Okay. And what was Esther doing? What was Esther planning to do? Do you remember what Esther was doing about all this? Trying to get the king to stop, okay? Esther was the king, and she's trying to save the Jews. And so what was she going to do to try to save the Jews? How was she going to be able to save the Jews? Okay, she was going to go into the queen, to the king, because she's the queen, right? Esther is the queen. She's like the king's wife, so she can go in and speak to the king. But she was afraid. Do you remember that? She was very afraid to do that. And I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jason read about how the Esther's uncle prayed to God. And Esther prayed to God before she went in. Prayed that God would help them. And I want to read the last time you read from Esther chapter 5, and I want to read out of the Septuagint something that you missed out of there. Remember how Esther went into the king and touched his scepter, and the king allowed her to live. But before that happened, before she touched the king's scepter, there were some other things that happened that you didn't see last time that I'm going to read out of the Septuagint. In Esther chapter 5, it came to pass on the third day when she had ceased praying, after she got done praying, remember that she was praying, days and residue, while she was praying, after she was done praying, it says that she put on her mean dress, she put off her mean dress and put on her glorious apparel. She took off like her regular clothes and put on her, like the queen's clothes, the beautiful clothes of the queen. And being splendidly arrayed and having called upon God, the overseer and preserver of all things, she took her two maids and she leaned upon one as a delicate female and the other followed, bearing her train. Okay, so she's going in to the queen. She has this beautiful dress on and two of her maids, her helpers, are following after her. She's leaning on the one and the other is coming after her, bearing her train. I guess that's like she had a long dress and she was just helping her walk because it might have been kind of clumsy with a long, beautiful dress. And she was blooming in the perfection of her beauty, and her face was cheerful and benevolent. She's beautiful. She's the queen. But her heart was straitened for fear. And having passed through all the doors, she stood before the king. And he was sitting upon his royal throne, and he had put on all his glorious apparel, covered all over with gold and precious stones, and was very terrible. And having raised his face resplendent with glory, he looked with intense anger, and the queen fell and changed her colors as she fainted. So she comes in after she was so afraid and she was praying to God. Finally she came into to the king. And when she came in, the king was angry. And she was afraid. And she fainted. Do you know what it means to faint? Like if you get really hot, you kind of start feeling weak and you fall over. She fainted because she was so scared and because the king was angry. And then it says, God changed the spirit of the king's gentleness, and in intense feeling he sprang off his throne and took her into his arms until she recovered. And he comforted her with peaceable words and said to her, "What is the matter, Esther? I am your brother. Be of good cheer. You shall not die, for our command is openly declared to you. Draw near." And then it says he raised the scepter, laid it on her neck, and embraced her and said, "Speak to me." And she said to him, "I saw you, my Lord, as an angel of God, and my heart was troubled for fear of your glory. For you, my Lord, are to be wondered at, and your face is full of grace." And while she was speaking, she fainted and fell. Then the king was troubled, so she fainted again. The king ran off his chair and went over to her and embraced her and tried to comfort her and tell her not to be afraid and said, "What's wrong?" And then she was saying, "I was afraid of you," and she fainted again. And then the king said, "Whatever you wish, Esther, half of the kingdom, ask and it shall be yours." Okay, and then you remember the rest of that chapter? How what did Esther ask the king for? Do you remember what she asked the king for? Okay. She asked for a feast. And who was going to come to the feast? Do you remember that, Judah? Haman and who else? Haman and the king and Esther. And then, when Haman was on the way back to his house, he saw something that made him angry. Do you remember what that was? Mordecai, I didn't bow down to him, so then what? What happened next? He made a gavel. Okay. First he went home. Whose idea was it to make the gavel? Do you remember that? His wife. He asked his wife what to do. She said, build a gavel. So they built this great tall gallows, and they were going to hang Mordecai on that gallows. Now, I'm going to start reading to you from chapter 6. And it's going to be a little different than your Bible. I'm reading from the Septuagint. But the Lord removed sleep from the king that night, and he told his servants to bring in the books, the registers of daily events, to read to him. And he found the records written concerning Mordecai, how he had told the king concerning the two eunuchs of the king when they were keeping guard and sought to lay hands on Artaxerxes. Remember that at the beginning of Esther, that there was two eunuchs that were making plans secretly to kill the king, and Mordecai heard it. And he went and told the king. So this, at the beginning of the story here, it says that the king couldn't sleep that night, so he asked for the registers, or it says that the Lord removed sleep from him. The Lord didn't allow him to sleep that night. And so he brought in the book, and as he read this book, he remembered, or he saw, and he remembered, Mordecai had saved his life. Now, verse 3, and the king said, what honor or favor have we done for Mordecai? And the king's servant said, you have not done anything for him. And while the king was inquiring about the kindness of Mordecai, behold, Haman was in the court. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had come to speak to the king that he should hang Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared. You see what's happening here? We have Haman. He's making plans to kill Mordecai, and he's coming towards the king's house, and at the same time, God is not allowing the king to see, and the king looks, and he sees that Mordecai is a good man, and he should honor Mordecai. So, God is watching out for Mordecai, and Haman is fighting against God, because he wants him to kill this man. And while the king was inquiring, okay, we read that verse, verse 5. And the king's servant said, behold, Haman stands in the court. And the king said, call him. And the king said to Haman, what shall I do? What shall I do with the man whom I wish to honor? And Haman said within himself, whom would the king honor but myself? Haman thought the king wanted to honor him because he was such an important man. He thought, the king's probably wanting to honor me. Okay, let's see what Haman told the king. Verse 7. He said to the king, as for the man whom the king wishes to honor, let the king's servants bring the robe of fine linen which the king puts on, and the horse on which the king rides, and let him give it to one of the king's noble friends, and let him array the man whom the king loves. Let's put these clothes on this man. Array, that means to clothe, to deck him out, to dress him all up. And let him mount him on the horse and proclaim through the streets of the city, saying, thus shall it be to every man whom the king honors. Then the king said to Haman, you have well said. So do to Mordecai the Jew, who waits in the palace, and let not a word of what you have spoken be neglected. So Haman took the robe and the horse and clothed Mordecai, and mounted him on the horse, and went through the street of the city and proclaimed, saying, thus shall it be to every man whom the king wishes to honor. And Mordecai returned to the palace, but Haman went home mourning and covered his head. And Haman, how do you think Haman was feeling by now? Any idea?
Not very good.
Not very good. Here he thought everything was going just the way he had planned, and all of a sudden everything starts getting turned around. And the man he wanted to kill got honored. And he had to honor him. Remember, Mordecai didn't want to bow down to him? And here, all of a sudden, he has to bow down to Mordecai. and dress him all up and put him on the king's horse and give him the king's cloak. And he was not happy. Okay. Now verse 13. And Haman related the events that had befallen him to Zeresh, his wife, and to his friends. And his friends and his wife said to him, "If Mordecai is the race of the Jews, and you have begun to be humbled before him, you will surely fall, and you will not be able to withstand him, for the living God is with him." While they were yet speaking, the eunuchs arrived and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. So Haman goes home, he tells his wife and his friends about everything that had happened, and they tell him that if this man is a Jew and things are going against you, you're not going to be able to do anything against it because God is with him. And then the king's men came and told him to come to the feast. Remember how excited he was to be going to this feast? He thought, yes, just me and the king and the queen. I'm an important man. That was in the last chapter. Okay. Any questions about the story? Did you understand everything so far? Okay, you'll have to wait one whole week to see what happens in the next chapter. Okay, verses. Do you have some verses ready? What are we talking? What are the verses you have today?
What happens when you have courage?
What happens when you have courage? Okay. All right. Sylvester, stand up. Try to speak up so everybody back there can hear you. There you go. Arthur.
Acts 7. Stephen had courage to forgive them when they're stoning him.
Okay. Stephen had courage to forgive those who were stoning him.
Abraham had Abraham had courage to go on a journey and he didn't know where it would end up. God was peace.
Abraham went into a land and he didn't know where he was going.
Hebrews 11, 36 to 40. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all and these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God has, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
1 Samuel 25, when Abigail had courage to face David and his army, and David didn't kill David.
Try to read loud so everybody can hear you.
In 1 Kings 17, it tells a story about a widow who didn't have enough food, but she trusted and
and she gave food to Elijah, and then she had enough.
Second Chronicles 32:7. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the king of Assyria or of the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than the king.
Okay.